Ever have that experience where you're looking forward to this event, it's coming up soon, and everything is planned out just the way it's supposed to be? All the details are in order, and you're just waiting. And then all of a sudden, a wrench is thrown into the situation, and all the plans that you had go up in smoke, all the preparation is gone, and now you're scrambling around saying, oh, what are we going to do now? Anybody ever had that experience? It's called the human experience, right? Everybody's been through that? Could you imagine Mary and Joseph told that they were going to have the Christ child, the promised Messiah, promised for thousands and thousands of years, and an angel independently appears to each one of them and says, yes, this child is the Christ child. It is from God. And we know that Joseph was a carpenter. And I'm guessing he spent months putting together the perfect crib for that baby. Right? And Mary had the baby's room all ready to go. The plans were made. Right? This was going to be the best birth ever. This child was going to have the best bed to lie in ever. And then all of a sudden, they get this announcement. There is a census going on, and everybody must report to their hometown. I'm sure Mary is thinking, hello, what are you thinking? I'm 9 months pregnant here. What do you expect us to do? This is the Christ child. This can't happen this way. Right? Perspective in trials. Mary was in a predicament. Mary and Joseph were in a predicament. They had this plan, and then all of a sudden there's a twist. Reminds me of a verse in Psalms 34, verses 6 and 7. It says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. I would really suggest sometime this week you read all of Psalms 34. What a wonderful psalm that is. We just don't have time to do it this morning, otherwise I would. But read Psalms 34. It goes along with this message really well. But that verse, the angel of the Lord encamps around all around those who fear him and delivers them. Does that remind anybody of an Old Testament story about angels encamping around those who fear him? Anybody? A few? Maybe? 2 Kings chapter 6 says, now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. And then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him, and thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. And therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? So the king is trying to capture the king of Israel, and he's lying in wait. He's moving around so that he can catch the king of Israel. But every time he sets up his little trap, the king finds out and never goes down the road. And the king of Syria starts to become angry, and he's like, hey, who's the traitor? Who's the one telling the king where we are? This plan should be working. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." And so he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." And therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do? What shall we do?" And he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Now that guy is looking around, seeing nothing but the enemy. They are totally surrounded by the opposition's army. The king of Syria has sent a great army, and it has surrounded the city, and they are toast. And the servant of the man of God comes to the man of God, Elisha, and he says, "What are we going to do?" And Elisha says, "Don't worry about it. No big deal. The people that are here for us are greater than the number of people that are against us." And he's looking around and saying, "Where are the people for us? I must have missed that part. Where are the people that are for us? Because there is nobody here for us. It's just us in this city. And we're toast." And verse 17 says, Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And so when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now imagine this. This servant has went from being totally petrified, knowing he was going to die and there was no chance of survival, to all of a sudden seeing God's army encamped on an entire mountain there to protect God's man. An instant change of perspective. An instant change of hope and fear. Elisha prays for the men to be blind. God answers his prayer. And the whole army is now struck with blindness. They can't see anything. And so Elisha goes up to them and says, "This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. And so it was, when they had come to Samaria, that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and there they were inside Samaria. Now, when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" But he answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." And then he prepared a great feast for them. And after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. And so the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. What an amazing story. He struck them with blindness and led them right into captivity. captured them. And the king of Israel is like, okay, we got all these guys that are harassing us. Should we just go ahead and kill them? Take them out? Take care of this problem that we have? And Elisha's like, no, we shouldn't do that. Let's just give them a meal and send them home. I'm going to hang around that Elisha guy. He is just a strange dude. He is a strange dude. But man, would that be fun? To be able to see what he sees, to be able to think the way he thinks, to be able to understand God's ways, that when we're going through a certain situation, the right perspective to have, the right knowing the right thing to do. Here we find Mary and Joseph. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. And so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And Jesus arrived in due time. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Can you imagine that? Here they go off to be registered. She's very, very pregnant. And they get there, and there's no place to stay. Their family and friends are full. The inn is full. And here they're thinking, Lord, we had the perfect place at home. We were already at home. We're not ready here. We can't do this here. What are you thinking? And in our perspective, we say, God, this is the wrong time. This is not the way it's supposed to go. But from God's perspective, he said, this is the perfect time. This is the right time. Galatians 4:4-7 says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his spirit, the spirit of his son, into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. And therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. God waited until the perfect time to send his son. So often we are preoccupied with the things, with the details. We're in Martha mode, right? How are we going to eat? How are we going to do this? Who's going to sit where? Mary, you're not pulling your fair share. Come on, guys. And we need to be in Mary mode. What's the most important thing right now? What in 5 years is really going to matter? What really matters right now? And so often, we have the wrong perspective. We need to have God's perspective. Jesus' arrival is celebrated. What an interesting night. We're not going to read the whole account in Luke. We'll do that tonight, actually. But in verse 18 and 20, it says, all of those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. I couldn't even imagine You know, maybe today it would be on the way to the hospital, right? And pull over on the side of the road and you have this baby. And here there are farmers out in their fields combining, right? And they see a car over there and hear screaming, right? And they say, we got to go figure out what's going on over there. And then we have these farmers out here celebrating the birth of a new child. I mean, what a strange event. What stories you would have to tell. What an amazing thing. And everyone marveled at what was told them by the shepherds. And Mary, verse 19 says, but Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, that night was a strange night, and the birth of the Lord Christ was celebrated by the people around. But there's also another arrival that should be celebrated. And that's actually what we're going to do here in just a couple minutes, is we are going to celebrate the arrival of the Christ child into the heart of Josh. He has put his faith and trust in Jesus, has accepted him into his life. And God says that he wants to do that for each one of us. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. God wants to start a relationship with each one of us so that we might know him, that we might celebrate him, that we might receive his power and strength to face our daily challenges. Galatians 3:26 and 27 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. As we're going to learn, Josh has put his faith and trust in Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And he is wanting to be baptized at this time. So we're going to close in prayer. And then Josh has a special song that he would like to have played. And Josh, you and I are going to go change, and then we will, at that time, celebrate in baptism. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, 2,000 years ago, you came into this world. You humbled yourself. Even though you were God, you took on the form of man, so that you might live a perfect life and die on the cross and bear our sins. You became sin for us when you knew no sin, that we might know the righteousness of God. That by putting our faith and trust in you, by walking according to your word, Lord, you would give us your righteousness. There we are standing in the guilty line, waiting for our sentence. And you, the not guilty line, waiting for your reward. And you simply offer if we would switch places with you. Take on your identity. Live as you would live. And that you would bear our punishment. And all we have to do is receive. Receive your salvation. Receive your forgiveness. And walk in the freedom that you want to give us. Turn away from our old man. Turn away from our old ways of doing things. And live for what is good and right and pure and lovely. Lord, as they celebrated 2,000 years ago when you came into this world, we also celebrate, as you celebrate up in heaven, when each one of us turn our hearts towards you. When we welcome you into our life and follow you. And so, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to put together the Christmas celebration with the celebration of baptism. A new life 2,000 years ago and a new spiritual life today. What a wonderful thing. And we thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.